So I am continuing the series that we started this month, 2025 Top 5. Okay. And the question I asked you, St. John, is what does St. John need to hear preached? I asked you to tell me what does St. John you need to hear preached. And so the first topic that we talked about was false teachers and false teaching. We discussed that last week. The topics that were submitted were false prophets, prosperity preachers. If a preacher or teacher mispronounces a word or misspells or misunderstands a Bible verse, is he a false prophet and against prosperity teaching? Why? And I tried to do my best to address these different topics in one sermon. And in the end, what we came down to was this: keep the main thing the main thing, and anything else is a fake thing. And so, again, I want to emphasize that if you still feel like you have some questions from that last sermon, what I'm going to do is ask you to hold those questions, because on the second Sunday in October, we will have a time to review, to briefly review all of these sermons, and then you can just ask questions. It will not be a traditional stand-up, me preaching style like you. This will be a question and answer period on the second Sunday in October, okay? But today, what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. That should sound very familiar, because that's what we did our offering period on, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. However, what we're going to do is read from the 12th verse. The service, the sermon actually comes from the 10th through the 15th verses. However, for in the interest of time, what we're going to do is read the 12th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Amen. I like to hear wait a minute, because that means we're interested in the word. That means we can read the word. That means we have it available. Amen. And that means you know that you know God is important to you. Amen. So you see how many blessings can come out of just wait a minute? These things, you know, God's been teaching me to, you know, just be thankful for the little things. Amen. Be thankful for the little things. 2 Corinthians 9th chapter 12th verse. I will be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible version. I strongly advise that you get your Bibles ready, because we will be kind of moving back and forth. However, we're going to go ahead and read this out of the Christian Standard Bible version. 2 Corinthians 9th chapter 12th verse reads as follows. It says, "For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." And so the topic that I would like to preach from is as follows: where the money is going. Where the money is going. You may be seated. So the sermon topics that you, St. John, submitted were as follows: God does not need our money, the church does. And explain tithes. The money is not for God, it's for the church. Now, first of all, sound like y'all already preached the sermon. I mean, if you really look at it. But I thought it was interesting because, you know, for those of you that know me, you know that I am not the type of preacher that likes to talk about money all the time. And what I've tried to do was have a sermon, at least a sermon on it. I've had sermon series in the past on it too, but at least a sermon a year on money, because I didn't want to I didn't want you to look at me as some type of money-hungry preacher. We talked about that last week with these false prophets. And so I just thought it was interesting because even though this year I actually did an entire sermon series called Tithes and Offering. It was a 5-part series. You can check it out. It's still on our streaming platform, Spotify, YouTube, all of that. On our website as well. Even though I did the sermon series this year, and I talked about money 5 times this year, it sounds like, St. John, you want to hear some more about money. Amen. So I want to explain this because this is what you wanted me to preach on. So therefore, we're going to move forward. What you see is correct. God doesn't need our money, but his people do. That is correct. Psalm 50, 10 through 12 says, this is God talking, says, "For every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry," verse 12, "I would not tell you, for the world and everything in it is mine." Y'all see God saying it's mine over and over? Yes, everything that he makes is his. He doesn't need our money. And if he did need it, he would just make it himself. He's God. However, his people do need money. And how do we do this in the church? The way that we handle money, again, we're talking about where the money is going. The way we handle money in the church is that the money comes through offerings. Offerings. Now, somebody said, well, no, tithes and offerings. And I'm telling you, tithes are actually a tax that was applied to ancient Israel only. Okay? That's what a tithe actually means, is a tenth. Some Bible versions translate it as a tenth. Tithes were applied to the gross income of all of ancient Israel. And that was a 10% tax, and that those tithes were used for the temple and for the poor and for those who served in the temple. That's what the tithes were used for. Nowadays, what we are commanded as the New Testament church is to give an offering. So I don't want people to leave here thinking that we're supposed to give two separate types of offerings. No, it is through offerings, okay? And that is what a tithe is. Now, the principle of tithing can be applied in your offering. And I'm not going to spend too much time on that because we covered that extensively and earlier this year. Again, go to the website or go on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Music, all of that. Okay, you can find it there, Pandora, whatever. But we even talked about how to calculate your tithes. If you wanted to know exactly what to give, we talked about it already. So please, please, please check that out. But that is what the tithes were for. Okay, these offerings to God that were given were consumed by the people. So when we talk about giving to God, again, I'm gonna get real frank with you because y'all want me to be straight up with this about this money stuff. So I'm gonna talk to you straight up about this money stuff. Because some of y'all don't buy that whole, well, I'm just giving to God. We know God doesn't need anything from us, but his people do. So giving to God is actually giving to God's people. God identifies himself with his people. So yes, you are doing something for the Lord when you give to his people. Yes, you are. You are essentially doing the same things to God. You know, Jesus always mentioned this in Matthew. If you do these to the least of these, you have done this unto me. There is an identification that God has with his people. That's why we can't just be mistreating our people. Because when you mistreat your brothers and sisters in Christ, you're actually mistreating Christ himself. Wrong sermon. Keep going. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the full tenth, or most versions will say tithe, into the storehouse so that there may be what? Food in my house. So the point, again, of this offering was, especially in the Old Testament, when this scripture was being presented, or when God was saying this to the people, the reason they brought 10%, not just of their money, but of their agricultural, whatever they grew, whatever they made, those offerings physically went to the temple so that the people in the temple who were serving, the priests and the other Levites who were serving in that temple, they would actually be fed by the tithe that was brought from the nation. So when God is saying that there may be food in my house, in that day, it was literal food. That is how they ate, was when the nation of Israel brought the tithe. The principle is still applied today. Again, in 2 Corinthians 9:12, this is where we're coming from today, when it says, for the ministry of this service, the ministry of this service that the Apostle Paul is talking about, getting one, the church of Corinth to, or we call it the church of Achaia, to get this offering and to collect this offering to send off to the Jerusalem church. He was saying that the ministry of the service supplies the needs of the saints. Paul is not being super spiritual, y'all. He's saying the money that you raise is going to meet needs over there. That's it. The money that you raise is going to meet needs over there. Nowadays, I know that as a member of Southern Baptist, we send off an offering toward the mission board so that we can help support churches and missionaries overseas. The money that we raise literally goes over there to help them build churches, to help get clean water, to help them build homes. That's what the money is supposed to be for, and to help the missionaries live there so that they can spread the gospel. That is what the money is for. It supplies the needs of the saints. Now, again, some of y'all said, well, again, where's the money going? Let's just be frank with this, all right? At St. John, our money goes to what is called basically three places: ministries, salaries, and bills. Y'all want me to talk straight up about this, right? I'm about to talk to you real straight. This is where the money, the offering, we had an offering period. This is where the money goes to: ministries, salaries, and bills. Surprise, surprise. Ministry costs money. Surprise, surprise. For St. John to do what we do, it requires money. How are these lights on right now? It's not because LADWP is so nice to us that they'll just give us free electricity all year. That's not how it works. They need to be paid. They're a bill. Any of y'all use the restroom today? How we get the water for that? Somebody got to get paid. Property taxes. Y'all see what I'm saying? Trash dump disposal. Everybody wants a clean church, right? How does that happen? You got to call, it costs money. It costs money. Our musicians and our tech team are not free. Our secretary, who's making sure that people stay informed, who's paying bills, who's doing all kinds of things, the things we never think about. Raise your hand if you would do it for free. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. I'm not free. I mean, it'd be easy if all I had to do was get up here and just talk for a couple minutes about what I like. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe. But I do a whole lot more than just stand up here. Hello? Everybody on Zoom. Zoom costs money. As well as the electricity and the internet required. Oh, and the team, the tech team. And the equipment that the tech team has to get so that you can enjoy the service from home. It costs money. Y'all want me to preach on this? This is what we're talking about. Ministry costs money. And when people complain, well, you know, church should be free. Why we got to give money to church? Why that? Why this? Why that? Preacher just want to take all the money. They just trying to, it's just a money sucking thing. They just want you to get your money, bleed you dry. Usually those complaints either come from a lack of knowledge or a lack of respect. Because if you notice, those same people that complain about the church never complain about the YMCA. Y'all notice that? They never complain about other nonprofits that you gotta pay money for a membership or to do something there. There's never a complaint there. But there's a complaint when you come to St. John and hear a sermon for free. There are no membership fees here. There are no membership dues. You can technically be a member of St. John and not give a single dollar. But people are complaining about where the money's going in church. And the reason it is because they don't think that the church is worth funding. They don't think that the church is worth investing in so that we can do things. They think that all we're doing is a guy like me comes up and preaches something from here and y'all listen and ha-ha and clap your hands and then we go. And if that's what you believe, I'm sorry, but you got this all the way messed up. You actually have zero clue about what's going on. Don't like preacher, you know. I don't want to give my money to the preacher. But you'll pay $250 to go to your favorite conference and hear some person that don't know you speak. Okay. Somebody said, I don't like this sermon. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 21, this is Jesus talking. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Somebody said, I don't get it. Money reveals your values. Money reveals what you have, what you do with your money. It reveals what's important to you in life. If you spend a lot of money on your car, I would guess that your car is pretty important to you. Does that make sense? I'm trying not to be super spiritual. I'm just trying to talk, okay? If you spend a lot of money on how you look, I would assume that how you present yourself is pretty important to you. Am I on the right path? Generally speaking, nobody really wants money. They want what money brings them. Let me say that real clearly. Generally speaking, all of us talk about, man, we got to make another $1,000. Ooh, I wish I had $1 million. Ooh. Okay, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? Oh, well, I'd go buy a house. I'd go buy a car. Okay, so then what that means is that if you had $1 million, what you really want is what those $1 million can bring you, which is a bigger house, a better car, a lifestyle that you want, whatever it may be. Some of us say, well, that's why I save all my money. I don't spend it. Well, actually, that tells you that you value security. If you save a lot of money, it's because you value the peace of mind that comes with, okay, if there's an issue that comes up in life, I can handle it. That's what it reveals what you value. And again, am I saying these things are wrong? I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just telling you what it is. Money reveals your values. You want what money can bring you. Nobody actually wants these little paper, you know, dollar bills. They want what that dollar bill represents. Another way to say it is that money is not the goal. It is a tool to reach the goal. Are we all on the same page? Again, I'm not talking about how the world thinks and how Christians ought to think. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what's fact. Money is a tool. Whenever somebody says they want a lot of money or they're looking for money, whatever it is a tool to reach a goal. Some of us need to review our spending habits now. And if you showed me how you spend your money, I will tell you what's important in your life. Yeah. Well, I spend a lot of money on rent. Well, where you live is important to you. I didn't say it was a bad thing. Y'all with me? But it's important to you to make sure that you live where you live. If you spend a lot of money on your kids, buy them toys, clothes, make sure they're good. They're important to you. Again, that's not a bad thing. I'm just telling you that that is a fact. That where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So since it is a fact, it's not a good fact or a bad fact or an alternative fact. It is a fact that money reveals your values. Since it is a fact, now let's look at what 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 10, says. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now hold on. God says the one that's going to, God is going to make sure that if you give, that he's going to make sure that you are able to continue to give. So guess what? God values money too. Money's important to God too. So then, how is it important for God? God is going to enrich you. God is going to bless you. For those of us that give and have a heart to give, God is going to bless you. Verse 11, he who will be enriched in every way for, y'all see that? For the purpose of, in order to, you will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Let's go back to this. God is going to bless you so that you can bless others. Does that make sense? And this is where the prosperity gospel gets messed up, because they say God's going to bless you. And then that's where the sermon ends. God's got a blessing with your name on it. But then you don't finish the rest of the song. Because all of it's about is about how you are blessed. But however, when we preach on prosperity, when we're talking about the way God views money, you will be enriched, verse 11, in every way for all generosity. God wants to bless you financially so that you can bless others financially. Does that make sense? You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which does what? Which produces thanksgiving to God through us. I want y'all to keep in mind this theme of thanks, because we're going to keep reading and we're going to see that it's all over. God wants to bless us so that we can bless others, so that God can be thanked and praised. Verse 12, for the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, which we talked about, but is also overflowing in many expressions of what? Thanks to God. 13, because of the proof provided by this ministry, they will do what? Glorify God. For your obedient confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone. And as they pray on your behalf, they will do what? Have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. And just in case you forgot, verse 15 says what? Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The goal of blessing us is to bless others. Why does God want us to bless others? So that they will glorify God among the people. So that the people may glorify God. This is why it is our church mission statement. God wants to be glorified. And one of the main ways he can do that is when he blesses people like us to bless people like them so that people like them can give him praise. This is the problem with American Christianity. We think that it's all about our own relationship with God. When God blesses me, I just need to say, thank you, Lord, and then go spend it on that yacht that I was planning on spending it on. But when we realize that God has a kingdom mindset, that we're going against the forces of darkness, that we need to not just make sure that we're good, but that we are soldiers on the battlefield and that we're reaching out to other people and we're trying to bring them to Christ. The way that God uses that, and one of the ways that God uses that is by using our money. Because sometimes people need to get money spent on them so that they can see that God cares for them. Yes, we know it's true. Yes, we know that God loves us even if we don't have money. Yes, we know that. We know that, okay? We've gone over that. However, God has a greater purpose for us than to just get money. We're not here just to survive. We're here to thrive. And we're here to bring others into the family of God. That's what we're here to do. Think about it. If you're saved, why are you still here? Why would God have you be saved and believing in him and then just leave you here to just suffer until he feels like he wants to bring you up? Why would he do that? God has you here because there are people only you can reach, only you can touch. Only you can bring to his glorious light. There's some people, you may bring them to church and they may think I sound corny. They may think I sound way too proper or way too ghetto, whatever way it goes. But when they listen to you, when they hear you, and when they see that you care for them, not just because you say it, but because you actually spend money and try to help people out, that your love is not just talk, it's not just something that you reviewed in a Sunday school class, but that it's a real thing with real results. We want people to hear the gospel. We want people to hear about Jesus Christ. We want people to hear that he was born through the Virgin Mary, that he lived for 33 years, and that he died on a Roman cross for your sins and my sins. We want people to hear of the greatest gift that God ever gave us, which was his son, Jesus Christ. We want people to hear that. We want people to hear that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he was buried, but on the third day, he rose again with all power in his hand. We want people to hear that. And we want people to hear that it's more than just a historical fact, it's more than just a story to tell, but that this has a real effect on our lives. We want people to hear that. We want people to hear the gospel. And let me tell you this, money helps people hear. It does. Because some people ain't gonna listen to a word you say until you actually back up what you're saying. Some people will not believe that you love them until you actually back up what you're saying with some money. Some people will not believe that you care for them until you actually spend your money on things that matter to them. And if we're a church that only has money just so that we can have our little services, how do we love this world? Y'all understand what I'm saying? How do we love others if all we're just doing is spending on ourselves? So, of course, we have money to spend outward. We want to make sure that that people not only outside the church but also inside the church are good, that those of us who need the money get the money, because that is what's important. Not that you see me as some big tithe or whatever, but that you see God as the source of all blessings, and that all this thanksgiving goes up to him. You pay for them. They praise you, God, because you, God, made it possible. You blessed sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so and deacon so-and-so and deaconess so-and-so. You blessed them to be able to make this happen so that I could be good. Thank you, God. That is the goal, is praise to him. We want people to hear the gospel. Money helps people hear. And so I'm going to close. If we want people to hear the gospel, then put your money where your mouth is. I'm going to say that again. If we want people to hear the gospel, then put your money where your mouth is. Money reveals what we value. We got to do these salaries and the bills and the stuff because we got to keep this going. But all of this is so that we can get people to hear the gospel. Well, you're going to be able to tell if you see how our money is spent. So when you want to know where the money is going, which, by the way, we talk about every year, it's a public thing. We want it to go so that we have everything to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we want people to hear the gospel, then put your money where your mouth is.